All right, as we stated earlier, it is our pleasure to have Brother Stephen Orell on the line tonight. We greatly appreciate Brother Stephen and Sister Vanessa Orell. They are our youth leaders, and Brother Orell does just that. He leads by example, and he has a heart for God and for the work of God. And tonight, he can also speak as a father, because we, as we all know, he is a new father, a new daddy. With that said, Brother Orell, I'm going to turn it over to you now, sir.
All right. Thank you, Brother Vic. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. I know that we went over the last couple of weeks, repentance. Brother Roseberry did an excellent job. And then last week, our very own Brother Vic Terraza did baptism. And now we are going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you get your Bibles ready, we're going to go right into this Bible study. I'm not going to take a long time tonight. We're going to go over a few key verses that are vital to receiving the Holy Ghost, how you receive the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and the necessity of being renewed in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go over this paragraph. It says that now you have obeyed the word of God, repented, been baptized, and are ready to receive the baptism or the filling of the Holy Ghost. This is God's testimony that you are clean and he has accepted you into his body, the church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. When you have received, you have been truly born again of water. And we know this phrase, born again, that Jesus went to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus went to Jesus and asked, you know, how can I be saved? And what do I need to do? And he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus asked, how can I be born again? Can I enter in my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. We know the water is being baptized in full immersion, which Brother Vic went over last week, in Jesus' name, being fully immersed and of the Spirit. And we know this, being born again of the Spirit, is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in the tongues in John 3 and 5. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he commanded his disciples that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, found in Acts 1 and 4, explaining that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you in Acts 1 and 8. And at Pentecost, the promise of Jesus was fulfilled. And upon being filled with the Spirit, all the disciples began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's important to note, that as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak, as the Holy Ghost, as God, was speaking through them. And it wasn't something that was teach. This is not something that we teach. We do not, when you are seeking the Holy Ghost, this is not something that we say, okay, say this and that, this is the phrase, and oh, there you go, you got the Holy Ghost. This is something only God can give. It can't be bought, it can't be traded. There's nothing that you can to do to earn it. It's something that is given when we have a clean heart, when we repented, and now God's filling us with the Holy Ghost as he gives us the ability. No one else, but only he can give us the ability to speak with tongues, with the evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's the evidence that we have, church, that we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. And a lot of people say, well, is tongues necessary? You know, do you have to speak in tongues? According to the Bible, it's necessary. It's the evidence that we have. And thank God that he gives us something. Because there's times in life that, you know, it's going rough and things are going on around us, and the devil is going to go to us, and life's going to throw curveballs away, and we're going to ask ourselves, do I have the Holy Ghost? Especially as a new convert, you want that assurance that you have the Holy Ghost, that you have salvation, and thank God that he gives us this evidence of speaking in tongues, that we have that assurance that God is inside of us, and we have that ticket to heaven, that he is in us, and we have repented. So I'm going to go over a couple of scriptures. You can follow along. We're going to begin with Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. You can listen along as I go through, or follow along with me in your Bible. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you, this is John speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, speaking of Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to even bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's John talking about that what he was doing before Jesus came on the scene was baptizing unto repentance. And a lot of people were confused in that day, and there was a lot of John's disciples, which we'll read later on, that were only baptized under John's baptism. But we're going to read in a couple more scriptures what they had to do to be saved. And a lot of people fall in this category that they believe that they repented, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Acts chapter 1, 2 through 5 says, unto the day in which he was taken up, speaking of Jesus, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus is affirming what John was talking about in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Acts chapter 7 and 9, just a few more verses ahead, starting with verse 7. And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And it's important to note here that he talks about you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. So he's going to give us the power, the Holy Ghost. God is going to give us the power to do what? To be a witness. To be a witness. That God is going to give us the words to say, to be a witness to those that are lost. This is very important as Christians, that we have to receive the Holy Ghost. It's not just only, it's mainly for salvation, but not just only for salvation, but it is to be a witness to those, to show them the way, that this is the way to be baptized, this is the way to repent, and this is the way to receive the Holy Ghost, and to witness to them. Because we don't know what words we have to say. It's hard to know exactly what to say to someone, and a lot of times we don't know what we need to say, but God tells us, don't think about what you're going to say, but I'm going to give you the words to say in that very hour. There's no way that we can do that without the Holy Ghost, because we can be witnessing to someone at the grocery store, and we don't know what to say all the times, but all of a sudden, God comes upon us, and he'll take over our tongue, and he'll put something in our mind to say exactly what they need to hear, and we can only do that with the power of the Holy Ghost. With Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these sayings, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Can you imagine, church, that we're waiting? We see Jesus speaking these words in Acts chapter 1. He's taken away. He's telling us to wait until you be endued with power on high. We're waiting in this upper room. And 50 days later, Pentecost has fully come. All of a sudden, there's this rushing mighty wind that comes into the building. I want you to picture that. It is a miracle that had took place, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there could have been doubters. after the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the 7 days, after 1 week, 2 weeks, there could have been those that said, hey, what's going on? We've been waiting up here for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and there's nothing has happened. Maybe there's some people that left. I don't know. But it says they were gathered together, about 120. But there could have been people that have doubted the word of God. But all of a sudden, the word of God came true, and there was a rushing mighty wind that came through and appeared unto them as clothing tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, all filled with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus' mother Mary was in that room, and she received the Holy Ghost. She needed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. She needed to receive salvation. And we don't put her as an idol and as a goddess, but she needed salvation also as a human, and began to speak with other tongues. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance or ability to speak. We are all familiar with Acts chapter 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this word shall is a commandment. It's not that you may or you can or it's optional, but it's a command that you need to, you have to. This is a commandment from God that you shall. This is Peter speaking. He has the keys of the kingdom. Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, it's unto us, it's unto everyone that he was speaking to 2,000 years ago, but it's also to your children and to all them that are far off. So this commandment to receive the Holy Ghost, to be repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just for that time. It wasn't just for that season. It is for all their children and their children and their children and to all that are far off. So it's not just for those in that time. It's not just for those in that region or in that country, but all those that are far off, the whole entire world, all races, all kindreds, all types of people. It's for everybody. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. John chapter 14 and verse 16 through 20 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter to comfort you. Thank God that he sent the comforter, the Holy Ghost, to comfort us, that he may abide with you forever. Thank you, Jesus. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comforters, says Jesus, but I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now I want to read this portion. This is it's amazing to me, but it says that, but ye shall see me because I live, ye shall live also. Because Jesus lives, because he lives, we're going to live also, church. We're going to follow him. We're going to follow the gospel plan. There's death, burial, and resurrection. We follow into him in death with repenting of our sins. The old man is dying away. We follow him into his burial, being baptized in Jesus' name, and then we follow him also in his resurrection. When he resurrected on the third day, that resurrection power, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive that resurrection power, that when we repent, we die to the old man. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, that old man is dying away and being buried. But when we receive the Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we can follow him also into his ascension. When he ascended on that mount and he went up into heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you comforted, but I'm going to send you a comforter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you that you sent the comforter. And if we follow him into his death, burial, and resurrection, church, we're going to follow him when that trumpet sounds, and he's going to gather us all together. Acts chapter 19, I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures focusing on the necessity of speaking in tongues. And I'm going to skip through. I'm almost done. The necessity of speaking in tongues. The devil can really trip up a lot of people on this. There's a lot of Christians that say they have the Holy Ghost, but if you ask them, how do you know you have the Holy Ghost? Because everyone wants that confirmation that you have the Holy Ghost, and God wouldn't let it leave us confused. He's not the author of confusion. He's going to leave some evidence that we can have, that we have the Holy Ghost. And in Acts 10:45, it says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as come with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Mark chapter 16, and these, 16 and 17, Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And Acts chapter 19, this sums everything up. I'm going to be ending with this scripture. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Here were John's disciples, which we're reading about in the first scripture, when John was talking about, there comes one mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So here's John's disciples. Then said Paul, John verily or truthfully baptized with the baptism of repentance. He did a good thing, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they didn't get offended. They didn't say, you're wrong, we're saved, you know, this is not right, we're going to believe John and no one else. But when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They said, we know that John was preaching of one mightier than him. We heard him say it. He didn't take the glory for himself. And all throughout his message, he spoke unto Jesus, the one that was going to come after him. And as soon as Paul said these things, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized again. Do you notice they were baptized again in the name of Jesus? So it's important, church, that we get baptized. If you've been baptized in any other way other than being baptized in the name of Jesus, you have to get baptized, according to the Bible, again in the name of Jesus. The power is in the name. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I want to read this last scripture here, Mark 16, 17. James chapter 3. For in many things we all offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. James chapter 3, verse 2, I'm reading in. And able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are also driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whatsoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members or our body, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, this nature that we have, and is set on fire of hell. These are some pretty strong words. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. This is an important scripture I wanted to end with, because the Bible and James is being very specific that the tongue, this tongue, is set on hellfire. And it's like a rudder that controls a massive ship. That little rudder will control the course of that ship. So does this tongue set on hellfire control our life. So God in his divine wisdom said, I need to take control of the most unruly member of this body, and that is our tongue. And to take over this tongue, to take the control of our future, we have to give up. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have to surrender, and that ultimate evidence of surrender it to God and say, not my will but thine be done, is giving our tongue to God and surrendering. And when we give our tongue to God, when we give our future to God, when we say, not my will but thine be done, in that moment of complete surrender to God, that I'm giving you my tongue, I'm giving you my words, I'm giving you my future, God will take over our tongue, and we will begin to speak in other tongues as he gives us the ability, as he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Brother Vic. That's all I have.
And thank you, Brother Stephen Orell. What an important message we heard tonight, church. The importance of having the Holy Ghost. As Brother Stephen began teaching tonight, I began to think how this subject, the Holy Ghost and receiving the Holy Ghost, is something so strange and foreign to the world. But to us, the church, it's something that's good, it's right, and it's not abnormal. But with time, it can become something that is normal, and maybe after a period of time, it's something that's not so much out of the ordinary. But I just want to remind everyone just how extraordinary that the Holy Ghost really is, and what a special blessing it is for us to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, thank you, Brother Stephen Orell. Church, why don't we just take a moment and thank God for this special gift of the Holy Ghost that the Lord has promised to us, his church. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord God, for mandating this, Lord Jesus. It's not an option. This is something, and what a privilege and an honor it is to be able to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Lord gives the utterance. Praise God, church. With that said, we want to remind everyone to be back at this same conference call line tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. where we will be hearing from Sister Marilee Gomez. With that, everyone have a great night. God bless everyone. Amen.